Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, the season finale for the Predators tonight at 7 o'clock. Now, Chris, I am going to read you a list of all of the players who started for the Predators in the season opener against the Dallas Stars. I'm going to read to you a list of the players who are no longer on the team. Gus Nyquist, Tommy Novak, Philip Tomasino, Mark Jankowski, Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier, Luke Shen, and Scott Wedgwood. So that is, by my count, 8 players who were in the starting lineup for the Predators in the season opener against Dallas are no longer on the team in the season finale against Dallas. We're going to have a lot of time over the next few weeks to sift through the wreckage of this season, but as we approach the offseason after tonight's game, what's the biggest question the Predators must answer to get back on track? Do we have Chris?
Do you guys have me?
Yes,
there we go. We got
hi, Chris. Okay.
Sorry, I'm there. Sorry, I was talking and nobody heard me. That's how I feel like 90% of my life. No, I'd say the biggest thing that they have to address going into next season is, how do you get this team to produce at even strength, at 5-on-5? I think when you look at the roster and maybe play faster, you know, I think they both had, they had good special teams, they had a good power play, they had a really good high-end penalty kill, top 8 in the league. I think the power play is somewhere around middle of the pack. But 5-on-5, this team just completely underproduced. They, you know, gave up the large majority of scoring chances, did not create a good defensive environment. And I think if you're not scoring 5-on-5, that to me is where you should, really try to focus on your game. That wasn't the case. And they weren't able to generate. And have been, I think, the lowest scoring team in the National Hockey League. And when you look at that roster, there's just no way that should happen. So personnel-wise, there's obviously going to be a lot of things, you know, a lot of those guys that you mentioned, I think were expected, to maybe elevate their game a little bit. I think Tommy Novak was, you know, trying to kind of pigeonhole to be that centerman between Stamkos and Marchessault, maybe. That didn't work out. Tomasino, they were hoping he could take the next progression in his career. He wasn't able to do that. You know, Dante Fabro, I think that was more of a salary thing. And, you know, if you have him as your seventh defenseman, you might as well just move on and clear space there. And I think in order to get younger, you know, Alex Carrier is a guy that I think we all, you know, liked on this team. It's just a matter of his salary and wanting to get a bit younger and taking a chance on a prospect of Justin Barron. So to me, the issue is going to either have to be tactically or personnel-wise to get a little bit faster and improve the production 5-on-5.
Chris, at the trade deadline, speaking of Tommy Novak and Luke Shen, the Predators traded them to the Penguins for Michael Bunting. And there were a lot of questions about that deal, from myself included, about the value of Michael Bunting. Barry Trotz clearly values Michael Bunting and thinks that he can be a veteran who can help shepherd some of these younger players. I feel like we have received the full Michael Bunting experience since he joined the Nashville Predators. He's got 5 goals. I'm sure all of them have come within just 1 or 2 feet from the net. He has 20 penalty minutes. He's getting in scrums. I feel like
he has 20 penalty minutes.
He has 20 penalty minutes.
Not 10 minors, though.
I think it might be.
He has 10 minor penalties since he got to the Preds.
Well, I think
he got in a fight, didn't he?
He has 9 minor penalities, according to in 17 games. I'm not sure.
Penalty minutes.
Take it up with NHL.com. My point is, Michael Bunting, we've received the full Michael Bunting experience. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think it's been great. I think if you look at pros and cons, you know, having a player like that, you're going to have to eat some of those penalties. You know, a lot of those, he's taken somebody with him. He's drawn a lot of penalties. I think having seen him, you know, compared to the group before him, they didn't have that element. I feel like he makes this team a lot harder to play against because other teams hate playing against guys like that, and they don't like playing against Michael Bunting. He's not a big guy, but he's definitely not scared or shy to go to the net. He goes to those areas. He gets in your face. He gets other teams off their games. You know, he plays on the edge. You know, he tries to draw penalties, maybe dive sometimes, but, you know, gets a lot of reaction from the other team, and he plays hard. And the other thing, if you watch his game closely, he's a skill player. He's got skill. He can make nifty little plays in tight. He's going to go get retrievals, get the puck out of the corner, and get it moving toward the net. If he doesn't have it, you know he's going to be right in front of the net waiting for that puck to get there. And I think it's been a great add. And I've really, you know, in the small sample size that we've seen him, I think he brings a lot of value to the team.
Mace, I'm curious your perspective. It was a super frustrating night for UC Soros. It's been a frustrating season. What would be the go-away theme for your talk with him? If you're, you know, Andrew Burnett, if you're Barry Trotz, I'm sure they'll have those discussions because he's such an enormous factor in whether this team can bounce back or not. They need a great season for him. And I think we have documented throughout the year how much of a lack of support they've given him in goal support and the environment in front of him with the defensive coverage. And there's no better example than what we saw against Utah. So how would you sort of couch that discussion and how you would you try to, you know, sort of help him rebuild? Because it's been, I'm sure, weighing on him mentally, all of the struggles that have gone on.
Yeah, it's been tough. And, you know, we've seen it, you know, in the last, you know, month or so in one of those games. You can see it visually. He's usually very stoic and you don't get a lot of physical reaction no matter what's going on in the game. And I think we've been seeing that from him lately. And I think that's just, you know, built up frustration on how the seasons went. Just seems even in a game where he's playing well, you know, he's going to, his goal is going to go off his own defenseman. It's going to be a couple screenshots. He has no idea where the puck is. And, you know, things like that have happened so often this year. But my advice would be, you know what, if he goes and plays in the World Championships, I hope it's a good opportunity for him to kind of go have success there. But I would just say, just delete this from your memory. You know, there's no question about his off-season work ethic, and he, you know, he's going to prepare in that regard. But I would just say mentally, just take some time. You know, don't do anything hockey-related. Just clear your mechanism and just get away from the game and this season. And then when you're ready, you know, you're going to hit it hard and come back. And, you know, I would also tell him we're going to be a lot better next year. You know, we're going to make some changes and whatever the plan is. But I would just, this is one of those seasons where you honestly want to forget. You want to use it as motivation in the summer, you know, to work on some things. You know, I'm sure they'll, you know, look at some things or maybe habits that creeped in. And because sometimes when your team's not good defensively, you do have things that creep into your game, you know, because any given scenario on rush opportunities, because you give up so many, there's so many more outcomes of that play that can happen. So sometimes you find yourself, when you get it over and over and over again, you're kind of cheating or leaning a little bit or turned off the angle, getting loaded up for a pass. And I've seen that a little bit in his game this year, is, you know, certain situations where he'd be completely square and he'd trust his ability and his athleticism to get over there in time. I think I've seen, because they've given up so many of those types of chances, that he's starting to lean a little bit and fade over to, you know, maybe the most dangerous possibility or the second most, you know, dangerous possibility in that situation. But yeah, I would try to delete this season from the memory for sure.
Okay, so now give your goalie perspective on Justus Onanen, because that's another guy that I think they believe can continue to get better. He's still at an age where he's actually played a lot of NHL games relative to players his age. Some guys don't even get a chance to play in the NHL at all until they're 25, and he's got a lot of games under his belt, and he's just now turned 25. But he does when he's on, right, he's really good. He's had little lapses within games. But how much of this do you think he has room to grow?
I think he's got a lot of room to grow. And I've seen in his game when he's on, I think he's really confident in his depth and his ability to get from point A to B and maybe a cross-ice thing and, you know, a cross-ice play. And I think for him, my biggest thing would be to find the balance of your depth. When he's not playing well, I find that he fades way back into the goal line. And he's a big guy. He's a very good skater. You know, in the ice, he's got great net coverage. But when you fade back, you're giving up a lot of holes. Again, you kind of fade off that angle. It's more of a defense mechanism for a goaltender when you're not feeling good, or maybe the defense in front of you isn't. It's kind of, you feel like you're a little more protected because you're closer to the net. But in reality, that hurts you. It opens up a lot of more holes. You're just not square to the, you know, to the initial play. So I would be doing a lot of video with him and just showing him, hey, when you're, you know, when you're on top of your game, you're here. You're just, your toes are on the blue. You know, you're challenging the shot, but you still have the athletic ability just to trust his game more in those situations. So I'd be working a lot on, you know, trying to help him figure out the balance of when he's playing good, he's at, you know, point A or B, and when he's, you know, struggling a little bit, he has a tendency to kind of back in and make himself a little bit smaller. So I'd be doing, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff with him, or at least send him home with that. I know they can send it over the summer, but just a lot of that kind of stuff, just so when he goes back and he gets on the ice again, that he's got, you know, that front of mind to be able to focus on that during his summer training when he gets on the ice.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us. Predators season finale. You can catch Chris and Willie one more time on FanDuel Sports tonight. Chris, great stuff as always. See you tonight.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Chris Mason on the program. 615-737-1025. All right. It's time to make our transition from DVD to Stillman & Company. We've shamed Jared for his Jalen Ramsey take, and we will allow him to respond coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.